My darling, it's time to put a stop to all the madness. You deserve so much more in your life. It's your time to glow up. Welcome to the Time to Glow Up podcast with Rebecca Hennings and guests. Your journey to transforming from the inside out begins here.
Now, Georgiana.
Hi, Rebecca.
Okay. So for those who are listening, because obviously some people are listening via the podcast, some people are watching this on YouTube, I'm talking to the gorgeous Georgiana Joannou. Have I pronounced that correctly?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you very much. And I met Georgiana, or I met you, because we're having this conversation, at a social circle event just before Christmas in 2019. And that's still like an event for people who are into social media and digital marketing. And I just wanted to know, you know, I'm launching this podcast and I wanted to know more about what I should know about social media. So I just went there. I met yourself and your friend. And I remember, you know, you guys were kind of like just sitting in the corner, just kind of laughing and joking. And we got talking and, you know, I just quickly realized that you guys are experts with regards to social media. And so we, you know, I remember saying, look, I've hardly got any followers on my Time to Glow Up podcast page. And, you know, you guys would give me an advice. And then I then saw your page. And I was like, hold on a minute. Who am I sitting next to? Who is this Instagram celebrity that's got 15,000 followers? And so that intrigued me. So let me let you talk a bit. And if you could just let the listeners know, why is it you're on Instagram with 15,000 followers?
Well, I got into Instagram a few years ago. And I was kind of using it to get over some other issues I had.
Okay.
And that's how I gained my following. I used to have 20,000 followers.
Did you?
Yeah. And then I just realized it was hurting me mentally. So I stopped and then I lost a lot of followers because I wasn't active. I wasn't posting.
Okay. And we're going to come to the reason why, you know, your followers dropped from 20 to 15 because you weren't using it. So we're definitely going to come back to that. But let's, you know, paint the picture for those people who haven't seen your page or, you know, who, again, for those people who don't know you. So when I saw your page, I could obviously see lots of beautiful imagery. The more recent imagery is more artistic. But, I mean, it's not as if you were, I don't know, like, you're not, and tell me if I'm saying this incorrectly, but I feel like you were just doing some ordinary things but look very beautiful doing ordinary things. Was that the aim of, like, what was the aim of it?
Well, yeah, exactly that, being pretty. Yeah. For social media, because I was after likes, or I was after like gaining followers. But most recently, I'm just posting stuff I feel like they represent me.
Yeah. So there's obviously been a journey, and that's why your recent pictures are now what they are, which is, like I noticed, are more artistic.
Yeah.
But again, just kind of going back a bit. So talk to me about, like, what, when you first started your page and you started to get the likes and the followers, let's say when you got your first 1,000 followers, what was that like for you?
I was like, okay, people like this, so I'm gonna keep doing it because people like it. Yeah.
And what was the plan when you said you're gonna start up this new page? What did you plan to showcase, and did you look at other people to kind of get ideas?
I was looking into other girls' profile that already had like 1,000 or like 5,000 followers and saw what they were doing, and I would just kind of try to copy that. Yeah, I was pretty much copying everything they did, and even the captions. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And so I imagine that, you know, once this following was building, that must have changed something in you once you realize that people are really into me and are following my journey. What did that do to you on the inside? What did that make you feel? Did it make you feel like you wanted to feel?
Well, it made me feel good, but it was like only temporary. Like the first like few hours that I posted a picture and I gained like a lot of comments or likes or people in my DMs. It felt good. It felt like I belong in a way.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Go on. You're going to say something?
No.
Okay. All right. So again, chatting to you at Social Circle about this, I'm like, oh my gosh, do you know how much money you can make from having 15,000 followers? And you said to me, yeah, but you know what? It's mainly men. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. So did you set out, well, firstly, let's say your age. How old are you?
I'm 22.
So, and you started this when? How long ago?
When I was 17.
Really? I didn't realize it was that long ago. Okay. Wow. Okay. So, yeah, it's mainly men. When you first set out to do this, were men your targeted audience, your target audience?
Well, not at first, but when I saw the response from them, yeah, it became my targeted audience.
Yeah. And again, I feel like we need to paint the picture for those people who can't see your Instagram page. In fact, do you want to say the name of the page?
Well, it's just my name.
Yeah, it's just your name, which is obviously in the details for this podcast. Anyone who wants to go and look at it, go do your thing. But it's not like you were, I mean, I can't say, I don't think I've been through all of your pictures, but I can't say I saw any pictures like where like you had nipple tassels on or like something like ridiculously revealing. I mean, obviously you look very attractive and I can see why you'd be attractive to men, but I couldn't see anything that where you were like overly sexual or anything like that. But still, you being the beautiful person that you are, you attracted the mainly men to your profile. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So this is for a 16 plus audience, but we don't want to get X-rated, but could you just kind of like talk to us about some of the DMs you would get?
Some were mean spirited and some were nice.
Were the mean ones from men and women or?
Both, yeah.
What were they mean about?
My pictures, like, why would you post that? That's too revealing. Maybe would you want to delete that?
Really? And these people didn't know you?
No.
Oh my gosh. So what did that do to you?
Well, it made me rethink of my posts. And if I really wanted to delete them, and then I would see the likes and the comments and I would be like, but some people love it. And then I would think again about the people that didn't, and then it would start messing with me mentally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you. You were talking about some of the other types of DMs you would get. For those who don't know what a DM is, just in case there's anyone who doesn't know what a DM is, it's a direct message. Yeah, sorry, carry on.
Yeah,
on Instagram.
Some people choose to send their privates in pictures.
Their private parts.
Yeah.
Men.
Yeah.
Ew. Like, what were you meant to do with that?
I don't know. They just want to share, I guess.
Okay. And would you respond?
No, I would delete this. Sometimes I will report them because I know that there are a lot of underage people on Instagram.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to like send a random person your private parts, then what would stop you from sending them to underage people?
Yeah, absolutely. But you were quite young yourself. And, you know, that's a huge responsibility, or maybe there's a better word for it, but that's a lot to take on. Number one, having all that attention, but then having sexual images sent to you. I can't even imagine what I might do with that. So when that stuff kind of happened, did you discuss it with your friends? Did you kind of laugh it off, or did you kind of get scared by it? How did you feel?
I would laugh it off because honestly, I think that the people that do this, they just don't understand what's up. They live in their own little bubble thinking that maybe it will get them somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, you do seem very grounded, very mature, very sensible, moralistic, But not everybody, certainly, not even an age thing, but not everybody's like that. So I think it takes a lot of resilience to have to deal with negative comments, having to deal with people sending their private parts and people judging you based on what you put out there. So I know that you said you set this page up to deal with some issues that you were having. So talk to me about that. And sorry, before you start, I'm going to say this because I believe in just being authentic and being honest with how this works. So we started to have a conversation last week or whenever it was, we met up recently, and you started to tell me your story. And I was like, I had so many reactions. I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I was like, stop telling me, stop, don't tell me anymore. Because I just want this to, yeah, I feel like I just want when people to listen to this, to hear, I want to hear it as if people have heard, like other people are going to hear it for the first time, because it's quite, for me, quite hard hitting. And it's important that people hear what you have to say. And so that if there is anyone who's dealing with what you're dealing with, or they know anyone who's dealt with what you dealt with, that they might be pushed or moved to do something about it. Yeah. So with, I guess what I'm saying is I want this to be fresh, real, authentic. So that's it. Right. I'll be quiet now. Talk to me.
Okay. So everything started when I was 11. I would look into myself in the mirror and feel ugly, disgusted by me. And that's when I first threw food away.
Okay. So let's pause just there. So, but why, what was it that made you at 11 years old look in the mirror and think you're disgusting? And by the way, let's say, I don't think we have said that where you grew up.
I grew up in Cyprus.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So why?
It's hard to remember exactly what it was, but I'm guessing it was the stereotypical beautiful it's the stereotypes that say that this woman is beautiful and this woman is not, and this woman is presenting so many TV shows on TV and everybody loves her, and if you're not her, then you're not worth it. And then there are magazines and what you see on TV and ads, and because back then they didn't have any diversity and it was just one woman for everything, like a blonde, blue-eyed girl doing everything,
yeah,
everywhere, and skinny, and she had all these things, and they made you wanna be her in a way.
Yeah, because that was something that surprised me. Again, that's something you told me about, this image of this white, blonde, blue-eyed woman. And, you know, we know that that's a universal symbol for the most beautiful woman. But, you know, we know better. We know that beautiful women come in all shapes, sizes, colours and whatnot. So I was quite surprised by that because, you know, obviously I'm black. If you didn't know, if you're listening, I'm black. And that's something that we constantly have to deal with, is being compared to white women or being, white people and not being seen as attractive. So for me, looking at someone with white skin, I just think, oh, you're all in, I guess on a surface level, a lot of black people would think everybody's in the same category. But you know, I'm hearing you say, well, you know, you've got, you know, quite tan skin, you've got brown hair, you're brunette. And so for you, that was a difficulty as well, not having that even higher or more elevated level of beauty in the eye of the media.
Yeah. Wow. And also because I was into sports when I was younger and I had more muscles than other girls in my class. That would make me feel excluded as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing to have, to be strong, to be beautiful, but it's...
Well, I hated it when I was younger.
Yeah. Okay. So what did that lead to?
Well, it led to years of struggling with food and having a good relationship with food. And then Instagram happened.
Hold on, I'm going to just stop you just there, because there might be parents who are listening there with daughters. You know, my daughter is 6 years old, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't want her to get to a point where she's looking in the mirror and she's not loving what she sees, mm-hmm. and therefore she has problems with food. So tell me a bit more detail about what that looked like. What were the problems you had with food? Were you eating normally?
Well, I was trying to, but there were days that I would throw my food away.
Unbeknownst to your mum, your parents,
I would lie about if I ate or not. Mm. I would go back home, and if my parents asked me if I ate, I would be like, yeah, I already ate at school, I'm not hungry now. And at night, I would be like, no, I'm not hungry, and I would go straight to bed.
But you would have felt hunger.
I couldn't escape my parents on weekends, because they obviously see me for the whole weekend, so I couldn't lie. So that's when I ate all the food that I didn't eat the whole week. And that caused an imbalance. I would starve myself within the weekdays, and then eat a lot of food during the weekends.
So were you purely eating the food on the weekend because your parents could obviously, you know, you couldn't avoid your parents, or was it because you were hungry as well?
Both.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So did you lose a lot of weight?
Well, not really. I would gain weight because I would eat that much.
Because that was the imbalance. That's what was doing. So, you know, given that you were doing this to lose weight, to look like that ideal image of this woman, but that you were putting on weight, that must have messed with your mind.
Yeah. During the weekends, I would feel disgusted by myself. I would hate myself for eating so much food. I would try different tricks to like make me like not eat or vomit. Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, eating disorders are something that's becoming a lot more spoken about within the media. So I don't know the exact terms. I remember hearing about anorexia. And I don't think what you had was anorexia. Was it bulimia?
Well, my psychologist called it starving and binge eating circle.
Okay. So what's the different? Well, anorexia obviously is when you lose a lot of weight. So I think that's spoken about a lot. What's bulimia?
Bulimia is when you eat, it's when you eat and then you try to throw up, and because you feel guilty about eating and, you know, trying to find ways to like eat but not eat at the same time.
Yeah. So what you have is similar to that, but what was different is that you had a cycle of not eating and then eating, but you wouldn't necessarily make yourself sick. You mentioned that you did at times.
I would try, but it wouldn't work with me. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah, because maybe your body was like, no, I need to hang on to it. I don't know. So this went on from the age of 11. And then, so what happened to kickstart Instagram?
Well, I remember that when I started Instagram, I was a bit chubby. And then being on Instagram and watching all these influencers that started popping up back then, I would feel like that's the new thing and that's what I needed to be at that point. And I tried to lose weight again, and I did it that time.
How did you try to lose weight? Get the same sort of method?
Yeah. It never stopped.
Yeah.
Wow. From 11 years old until I was like 18, 19, it never stopped. I never stopped doing that.
Wow. And can I just say this, because even just having a thought now just kind of filled me with dread. So one of the questions I asked you when we spoke was, did your parents know about, or what did your parents say about this? What did you say to me? What did you say? What was your answer?
They still don't know.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh, like, because I think again, I think about my own daughter, and that when she grows up to have to deal with something like that myself, for herself, sorry, and not tell me, I don't know. I think that would, it'd be hard, really hard. Yeah. And is this because you were protecting your parents?
I feel like I needed to keep it a secret. And I felt like if I told anybody, I would be judged. So I kept it for myself. It was really hard actually to keep it for myself, because there are some times that you feel like you're drowning in your own body and you can't do anything about it. And you feel like you want to scream help, but you can't.
Yeah. So what pushed you to see the psychologist?
It was first year of uni, and I was obviously in a different country. I was by myself.
So you came here by yourself?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I felt like I couldn't take it anymore. I felt trapped. I felt like I need an out. And that's when I found out that the university offers a free psychologist for like few sessions. Mm-hmm. And I went there. Yeah. Oh my
gosh. And so obviously you had your sessions, and what difference did it make seeing a psychologist?
Well, my own psychologist had the same issues when she was younger. So mm-hmm. when you have someone to relate to and that went through the same things you went through and telling you how they got over it, it gives you more power to want to do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. So then that gave you the power to what? So did you, you know, how many sessions approximately did you have?
15, I think.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, you had a really decent amount of time to work through some of those issues. I imagine you spoke about why you did this. Like, what was it in the sessions? I mean, obviously you don't have to go into any great detail, but what were the light bulb moments for you during those sessions?
You know, when she started talking about herself and how she used to see herself, or how she went through what she went through, I was like, you know what? I'm not alone. Mm. I mean, she did it. I can do it too. Mm. I can say that I'm fine and I'm honestly fine.
Mm.
And what else? She would ask me questions about how it all started, and she would find things to relate to and make me relate to her more. So that helped me a lot.
So do you think things might have been different had she not had that experience? Had she just been an average psychologist, do you think you would be where you are today?
Well, I can't know that for sure.
Yeah. I'm but just trying to gather, like, how much of this was her having had a similar experience to you, and how much of it was actually having the psychology sessions? Because I'm thinking about other people, because they might not be lucky enough to get a psychologist who's had a similar experience. So do you think that might have helped anyway?
Well, yes, because they always start with this question sheet that evaluates your state, and then they work with you to fix whatever might be dragging you down.
Right.
So I think they know the best way to work with you. So
yeah. Okay. And so then start talking to me about what things look like when you started to you made the decision to change. What did that look like? What were you now starting to do? You know, you come from these sessions, you're feeling like, you know, she's come out of this, I can do it. So what were you doing differently?
Well, I started eating more plant-based by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me because I felt like food wasn't dragging me down. I felt lighter in a way, because I was eating more fruits now and more vegetables. And I would feel more energy. I started working out. I would focus on myself, as in being healthier and being a better person than I was yesterday, instead of comparing myself with people I see online or on TV or in magazines.
So I like that. So what you decided was that the focus was now on you, almost like this idea of having a comparative nature was no longer about comparing yourself with other people, but about comparing who you are now to who you were.
Yeah.
I like that. And you were doing it with the focus of health being at the fore of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you were looking and feeling great, and I imagine are now by actually eating more, but you're eating healthier and you're again, just focusing on the health.
Yeah.
Wow, that makes sense, you know? And I say that not, you know, because I think there are also people out there who maybe, you know, haven't had the same experience as you, but might be doing similar things in that they're comparing themselves to other people who are out there but have unhealthy eating habits. Yet still, if the focus, I mean, for me, in my whole post-cancer journey, focusing on health as opposed to weight loss has been amazing for me. It's led to the weight loss anyway, but it's been far more of a motivator than wanting to look like whoever it is I see on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I get it. So what I'm hearing is that we talk about the idea of the glow up, and the glow up is that internal to external transformation. So we went through that massive, almost 10 years of going through your eating difficulties. And then finally, once you started to have that, when you came, you know, you had your breaking point, you went to a psychologist, had those sessions, that's when you started to transform by making those healthier choices. And is that where you are today?
Yes, at least I'm trying. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that because nothing is perfect. Yeah. Life is not final until it's final. And, you know, it was a long period of time that you were going through that cycle of starving and eating. And so it's not going to change overnight, but, you know, you look healthy. And, you know, there's obviously been a paradigm shift in the way that you think. Is this more of now about you consciously having to make decisions when you're eating?
Well, yes. Because if I don't think, I'll just go back to where I was.
Yeah.
It's something you have to deal with every day.
Yeah.
Because it's there. I have a little voice in the back of my head that always talks badly, but, you know, I have to mute it and just focus on being better.
Yeah. Ianla Van Zandt, I don't know if you know her, but she's like, a spiritual teacher / healer. She speaks about having dominant negative thoughts, and that will be what that is. Dr. Brené Brown talks about having gremlins in the back of your head, but we all have them, and they are those negative voices that want, you know, it's almost like having an angel and a devil, and it's the devil that's telling you you must do all these bad things. And I think it's a massive thing to even realize that they exist, because sometimes we don't even acknowledge that the fact that there's another voice in our head. We just think this is us. But actually, I do believe that there are these negative dominant thoughts or gremlins or whatever they are, that for some reason, I don't know why, I don't know if anyone really knows the reason why, wants you to do badly. But at least being aware of them, you can challenge them. And that's what you're doing. Fantastic. That's amazing. And I know that, you know, you've just finished your degree. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just finished my master's. Yeah.
Whoop, 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 whoop. So what's happening for you now? Now that you've finished, what do you want to happen?
Ideally, I would like a job as a graphic designer in an agency or a company.
Mm.
Something creative, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And so what's happening with Instagram? You say that you're changing how you do things. What's the plan for it now?
I want to still be me, still be artistic, and still get back to the influencers game.
I think I'm coming from an entrepreneur's background, right? So when I see 15,000 followers, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know how many products you can sell. I keep saying that to you. But, you know, I think you should. I definitely think that's the road for you, because, you know, it's an amazing thing. You know, okay, many of them are men, but men buy too. And I think having the right products and services, you know, you're in a great position.
Yeah.
You're in a great position. So I just want to ask you something before we kind of wrap this up. So will your parents see or hear this?
I don't know.
Are you going to tell them?
No. I won't tell them, but I'll definitely share this.
Okay. Well, you know, who am I to say whether they should or shouldn't know? It's just, you know, that question comes from me being a parent and hoping that if my daughter was ever in this position that she would tell me. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know all the answers. So what I do want to say is that I'm so glad that you felt comfortable enough to share this because, you know, when we spoke about it, you said this would be the first time you're talking about this publicly. Mm-hmm. And so I thank you for doing that because that can't be easy. And I know that you'll be talking to people. People will hear this and hopefully if they're in this position or in a similar position to that you were in, they will do something about it. And so that's actually something I want to ask you is that what do you think is the first thing someone should do who's kind of crying inside like you were, feels they can't speak to someone? What do you think was the first step they could take?
Well, I want to say, firstly, I want to say that when you don't talk about stuff, they get bigger and scarier in your head. Yep. So the first thing I would say to somebody to do is talk to someone.
Yeah.
Even a friend, even family, ideally a psychologist, but, you know, nobody has, not everybody has access. So.
Yeah. So, problem shared, probably is problem halved and all of that. Absolutely. And that is the first step to recovery. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think they should follow you on Instagram as well, because you can just serve as an inspiration, as someone who's actually been through it and conquered it and is now glowing up and doing her own thing by living a very healthy life. So thank you, Georgiana. Now, at the very end of every podcast, I have a quick fire section where I start a sentence and I ask you to just finish it by saying what comes to your mind. So there's no preparation in this. So let's just do it. Okay, so to truly love yourself, you must. Just say what pops into your head.
Know your worth.
Okay. I cannot do without.
My phone.
When all else fails.
I'll stand up and try again.
The way to joy is.
Loving yourself.
And finally, the best piece of advice I've received is.
Honestly, it's chill. Just chill. Yeah.
Just chill. Yeah, it's not serious. Georgiana, you have been an amazing guest.
Thank you so much
for sharing with me.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Okay. We're going to say goodbye now to Georgiana and wish you all the best. Follow her Instagram page. I'm going to make sure that the details are on this episode. And that's it. We're going to say goodbye. Stay on the line because we're still going to talk. But that's the end of this, the last in the current series of the Time to Glow Up podcast. So thank you for listening. And bye, Georgiana.
Bye.